Romans 10. Let's read. We're going to talk about beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. God makes beautiful things, and he wants to beautify your feet. Did you know that? He wants you to have really lovely toes. All right? See what we mean here. Romans 10, pick up in verse 13 through 21. It says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes. Indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the earth. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation." These are all the non-Christian, non-Jewish, non-believing people. They need to hear. And Isaiah is very bold and says, "I was found by those who didn't even seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel," he says, "all day long I've stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people." Let's pray. Dear God, we praise you for your word. Lord, your word is a lamp for my feet, and a light to create a path that people can see how real you are and how true you are, Lord. Lord, forgive us, forgive me for not being a bright light at times, for failing to be that person that's willing to take time and say how much God loves them, and say how real Jesus is, and that they can know him in a very sweet, precious way. So we pray that you'll bless, dear God, this message and all these things that you want to say to us. We invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now in Romans 10, we see why it's so urgent for a Christian to be involved in what he called the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, but commission. It committed. You're a missionary. You know, we get to be a part of the mission of Christ. It's the greatest. But like it says in verse 4, how then shall people call on him? How can they if they don't hear? They don't have an opportunity to see. You know, evangelism or sharing the gospel, it's show and tell. It's show it in our life. Show it in how we're living. And then people will want to know certain things, and you'll be able to tell them. And they'll want to hear, believe it or not. Or they'll want you or allow you to pray. And that's what the Lord wants. You know, God's way of reaching people with his salvation is to use all those who know Christ to be his witnesses. You say, that scares me. It's fun. It doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't have to be something that's, I don't have time for that. No, it becomes something where you see that God is doing a work in your life that is to change and help all the other people that need him. It's fun. It's amazing. I remember this dear gal that we were talking about earlier, Karima. And some of you weren't there. How many of you were there the very moment that it actually happened? It was incredible. I stopped at a gas station down the road because my car was running out of gas. Plus, I had to go to the bathroom. I didn't want to do it in the church because it's holy there, you know? But anyway, I went in there, and the clerk was talking to a lady who was looking for a church, a particular church that she'd been invited to. And the guy was trying to tell her where it might be. And I heard it, that she wasn't taking it from what she heard. She did. She no, that's not the one. That's it. It was something different. So I was walking out the door as she was walking out the door, and I said, "Could that church be Calvary Chapel East Side?" She goes, "Yes, that's it." I said, "That is so great because I'm speaking there this morning." We did. She gave her life to Jesus, and she followed Christ. And now she's part of the women's group. She's really a sweet lady. Tell her hi for me, and tell her, why is she skipping church today? You know, it's just... No, don't scold her. She's awesome. Now, normally a person's feet are about the least beautiful part of their body. I mean, you almost never get compliments about feet. Even good-looking people have ugly feet, generally. I think it's about 92%. Yeah, it's not good. Seldom do you someone say, "Oh my, what lovely toes," or, you know. It's just not physically attractive. But it is spiritually. It is talking about specific things. One, he wants you to walk with him. He wants you to walk with him. Like, you only go for walks with people that you can get really close to and talk things out. That's what Jesus wants. He guides us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He wants you to be one of those that he goes for a walk with. He wants you to run the race. Run the race. Don't just slowly eke your way down. Run. You know, if physically you're not able to do that anymore, run and jump and that sort of thing, spiritually you can still do it. It's a joy. It's a lot of fun. And the Lord shows you that he's with you and he has a plan for you. You know, it's interesting, the word beautiful feet, that word for beautiful is very interesting because literally it means in full bloom. Or well-developed, well-developed. Now, again, physically, most people don't want feet that are full bloom, you know. They don't want gigantic feet. In fact, in some places, like certain Asian countries and so on, they would even try to stunt the growth of their feet. I know some Americans who want that to happen, and I don't recommend it. But anyway, so it's one of these things where the Lord wants us to walk with him. He wants us to run the race. You know, my brother, he didn't want to follow Christ. And we were both raised by a raging alcoholic. And it was hard. And my mom was a wonderful Christian. But my brother, he tended to follow my dad's drinking habits after a while. But the great thing is the Lord kept showing how really is in my brother Kelly, who was the youngest, and myself, the middle child, and I had trouble following God because I like to fight God. Middle child people like to fight, generally, you know. They want to find their where they belong. Come on, I'm cool. And that's what I was doing. But the Lord completely changed all that and showed me through my mom and showed me through his heart for my brother. And so he got senility and some different things happening that were so sad. But then he gave his life over to Jesus in old age. He turned his life over completely to the point where his his wife, who was not a follower of Christ, she didn't even want him to keep talking to me ever. And I said, well, I'm going to do it when you're not here. So don't come when I'm there. Or if I see you, I'll hide and then come in. But you know, he grew so much. And it's so awesome what God does. I mean, he amazes you. My brother Terry, he was really short. He was 5'2", and he had 11 and a half size shoes. 11 and a half. So God was blessing him. We have this poem, 5'2", eyes are blue, your feet are huge. What happened to you? I was the goof off bad guy. But the Lord grabbed a hold, and that is the exciting thing. He loves us. Now, look at chapter 14, verse 15. Let's read that whole section again. How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? How can they call on him? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, there's only a couple preachers that are, you know, that's their career in this church probably. But what I want to say, based on what Jesus is saying here and Paul the Apostle, and what we see in all these quotes from David and different ones, Isaiah, he wants you to be a preacher. Don't you understand? You're a preacher. But not a preacher that are boring like us. You know, like we're trying to, you know, say something funny or say something, you know, profound or something like that. No, just show them that Jesus is real. Why do you do that, they may ask. You say, do you want to know? Or in the course of conversation, have you noticed when you're talking with people, they'll let you do stuff. I mean, for example, if you're talking with them, they may tell you that, you know, my mom, she's been doing this and going through that. And one of my children or one of my grandkids, they're doing this. And, you know, they really need help. And you know what you can do? All you have to do is this. Could I pray with you about that? That is all you have to do to be a witness, to have beautiful feet. That's all you have to do is say, can I pray with that thing, about that thing? Because the Lord wants to answer. Once I was doing that, I think I told this story one time, but there was this horticulturist that worked at a garden store, and I got a job there, you know, hauling around dirt and planting things and pouring more dirt on them. I was mainly in the dirt all the time, pretty much. But I was making a little bit of money. And this guy, this horticulturist, he was showing me and teaching me stuff. And then he goes, oh. He just started groaning. He's like, oh. And I didn't know what was. I go, are you okay? What's the deal? And he said, yes, I get horrible pain in my head, and it just hurts me, and I don't know what it is. It's just this pain that comes in, do you even know what that is when that happens to people? I don't even really know. I'm thankful I don't. But so he said, yeah, it really does, and it doesn't go away for a while. So you can go do something else. And I go, well, wait. Because the Lord, for the first time, told me what I told you a minute ago. He said, no, don't do that. And you have to understand, I was, again, still a goof-off type of guy at the time. And the Lord just spoke to my heart, and it was really, really fun that he did. He said, ask if you can pray for him. Because I was a Christian, and my mom had trained me to pray and, you know, do these things. So I go, okay. So I said to him, do you mind if I pray for you for your headache, your terrible headache that you have? And he says, yeah, that'd be all right. And so I put my hand on his shoulder and I started praying. Now, as I was praying, I started thinking, what if God doesn't do anything? You ever done that? You're like, you want to help someone and you want to pray for them, but what if God doesn't do anything? Then I'm a really terrible witness and that's awful, you know. And so I'm thinking these things, and the Lord said, quit thinking those things. He just, to me privately, while I'm praying, I'm thinking he may not heal him. And God goes, leave the reputation of my own in my hands, not yours. Don't worry about my reputation. I'm not worried about it, the Lord's telling me. And then he's going, you were quiet there for a while. What were you doing? And I'm going, well, I'll tell you later sometime. But you know what? We finished praying, and I just waited, kind of the horror that nothing was going to happen. I was like, so I had this rehearsed thing. I was going to say, you know, it doesn't always happen right away. But that's the thing. The Lord said, don't say that. Just let it fly. Let it go. So he's still groaning and going through all this, but he gets more quiet. And I'm done praying. And, you know, I'm terribly sad because, oh, shoot, it's not working. And you know what? The guy goes, wow. And I go, wow? And I go, why? You know, why are we wowing? And he goes, it's gone. And I go, what's gone? I don't know what made me do that, but he spoke up and he goes, my headache is gone. Migraine, I guess they call them, you know, sometimes. It's gone. I go, really? That's fantastic. That's the Lord, man. I can't do anything, but he did that for you. You know what? He gave his life over to Jesus within a few days. It was pretty amazing. And that kind of started me on this thing that whenever anyone that you think could use a touch from Jesus, whether they're non-Christians or they're Christian or Christians but not really following him, which is kind of interesting. I don't even know what that is. But they need to know they can be close to him. You know, how do you say what a Christian is? He has a relationship with Jesus, a real relationship with Jesus. And it's true. He's there. He wants you to have that. So he'll come right into your life with his Holy Spirit. And you'll sense him guiding your life then and doing things that he may want you to do. And that's what the Lord wants. He has that for each and every one of us. He wants us to put on gospel shoes. Gospel shoes. Like we said earlier, it's not the great suggestion. It's the great joy to tell people you can know the master of the universe, the savior of the world, the son, the living God's son, and the living God himself, who is now fully man, and he came down and became fully man through an immaculate conception so that you could have a relationship man-to-man with him, or woman-to-Jesus with him. You can know him. And it's so exciting when that happens. But how are they going to call on the Lord? How are they going to call on him? How is Karima going to call on him if that clerk doesn't even know where the nearest church is? Well, I think she did know the news, and she got, no, that doesn't sound like it. This guy seemed happy and everything, you know. And it wasn't me because I hadn't preached there in a while. And then she comes up and the rest is history. But the Lord is so good in wanting to do that in our lives. Jesus told us to go into all the world. What is all the world? It's everywhere you go. That's your world. Wherever you go, it says in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Just tell people the gospel. In King James, it's, you know, preach the gospel to every creature. Like you're to witness to squirrels or, you know. But have you noticed how many little bunny rabbits are out now? Am I the only one? Or is, like in Seattle, we get them all the time. Do you get them out here? Little bunny rabbits? Before, it was almost all squirrels. I couldn't stand those guys. In fact, we had to do some behavioral modification with those guys. We weren't going to hurt them or anything like that, but we did find a cage that catches squirrels, and then we moved them down the road for a couple months, and then we were fortunately not able to find them anymore, which was really good, but they were alive. I'm being facetious, but he wants us to tell people. He wants you and I, we have the privilege to show people and to tell people. That's what we're talking about. There's basically four things that this passage tells us. First, it tells us that we Christians are sent to tell and show. And we Christians are equipped not just to hear the gospel, but to explain it. Explain it. Get close to Jesus and you'll know a lot. You'll know so much and he'll want you to share it. And so people then will hear the good news. It's really the, you know, evangelism, that word, angelism, it's a message of an angel. That's what that is. It's evangelism. It's good news. You angle. Good news from an angel. That's what it means. You're an angel. You say, I've never been an angel. Well, I wasn't either. But he loves to save little demons too. And I'm talking about people, not the devil. People are like, yeah, is the devil going to get saved? No, he's done for. Same with demons. The whole thing, they're gone after a certain period of time. And we get to go to heaven and be with Jesus. And the way things are shaping up, it may be soon. There are signs that indicate, I mean, even a war with Israel being a fierce battle like that, it talks about that in Revelation. It talks about that in Zechariah, in many different places of the Bible. Psalm 2 is the psalm all about the Battle of Armageddon. And it's the same sort of stuff that people are seeing now in the Middle East and in other places. Persia has talked about. You know what Persia is? Iran. Ezekiel 38. It's part of what's going to be part of these wars and things. Same with Russia. Meshik, Tubal, all those in Ezekiel 38. They're talking about these wars that'll be there. But it also talks about a real peaceful guy who really knows how to bring in the prosperity. And it says there's going to be a guy like that. I wonder who that is. I don't know. I don't think it's probably any one of the candidates. I don't know. Now, who am I going to vote for? I'm not going to tell you, except afterwards I'll let you know. For me, it's policies. It's like Robert said, if they have good policies and they're giving credence to good people and to Christians and to Christianity. There's so many people that want to give credence to Shiite Muslims. But you know what? It's one of the most mean-spirited and terrible, warlike things. They don't have this as much in the Sunnis at all. You know, like Saudi Arabia and these different places, they'll talk things out with Christians and things like that. The other people know we're going for Armageddon. We're done. But that's what it talks about in the Bible. We don't know if these exact things are what's going to lead to that. We don't know. We don't know when. But you know what we do know? The dead in Christ are going to rise first. those who've already died, they're going to rise first. And then we who are alive and remain when that time does come will be caught up. We'll be caught up, you know, like Jesus kind of floated away, you know. We're going to be caught up. That's what the word rapture means. Caught up to be with him in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. That's the serious life that you want to make sure has some truth and depth. Like we said earlier, the rapture. Just one more thing I wanted to mention. And that is seeds. Seeds need to break through and create new life. But the Lord said, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. I don't want any of you to not be able to reap abundantly. Those who reap abundantly and bountifully will reward and will heap up a harvest. That's what the Lord wants. He wants that for you. You don't have to be a weird person. No, you just need to be someone who shows and tells and prays actively, because the Lord will help you with that. Now, you might say, well, I'm not the evangelistic type. There's no evangelistic type. There's a type for every Christian. You'll have your own type. You know, my wife bought me a pair of shoes one time. And when I opened them up, I opened the box. Those are the ugliest shoes I've ever seen in my life. They were so ugly. And I wanted to say, hon, can I take those back? We could get something better. But I didn't. But then as I was wearing those shoes, they were hurting my feet. And I said, hallelujah. I said, hon, these shoes, they don't quite fit. And they're, you know, so do you mind if I take them back? And I'm sure there's a size that'll fit me. So that'll be really good. And she was, oh, no, that's great. And when I went there, I found some shoes that I really liked. And I said, hon, you have good taste, I tell you. There is a way to share with anyone the Lord brings into your life if he wants you to share. So you need to be available. Just tell them, can I pray with you about that thing? Or, you know, here I was listening to, you know, a guy on the radio. I was listening at church the other day and this and that. And you can say it. Just put it out there. Put it out there. And the Lord will really use it. Again, why? Because gospel shoes are part of the armor. For you to be a strong Christian, you need boots on. And you need to have those boots fit you. And you can do it. Because he'll show you how. And then those nice looking ones that present Jesus in his love. And if necessary at times, especially as people are getting close to death, it's very apropos to say, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that the way that leads to life is a narrow path. And you must find Jesus. But the way that leads to destruction is the broad path. And many are those who find it. Where are you going, man? Well, I'm going to heaven. No, you're not, unless you have Jesus. You will go to hell. And it burns forever and ever. Now you say, I don't like that. Well, I don't recommend using it right off at all. But after a while, if people are insistent, you should say, you need Jesus, man. You don't know what's going to happen. Dear God, I thank you so much for this church. Thank you that they are a bright light. Thank you, Lord, that so many feet in this room, they are clothed with wonderful shoes and just that presentation of being with you and having you in their life. Please, Lord, I just pray that you speak to us when there's an opportunity to just strike up a little conversation and see what you want to do. Lord, I thank you again for this church. I thank you for the Billy Graham Association. Thank you that you've allowed us to work with them many times in this region, and you've reached thousands of people here when he's come, and many other outreaches. Thank you for the outreaches of this church. Even this Halloween that's coming. We don't celebrate Halloween with all the demons and all that. We celebrate you, Lord, and we love the fact that your light dispels the darkness. Bless, Lord, people in their closeness with you, I pray. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.